Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. As I said yesterday, I want to go back to the gospel passage from yesterday. That is Matthew 12, verses 38 to 42. Matthew 12, 38 to 42. Let me just read it again. I want to give you this commentary of Father Simon's, and it's important enough that I'm taking some time from today's readings to continue yesterday's conversation. Some of the scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." He said to them in reply, "An evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign." How many times do we say, "God, give me a sign"? An evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And there is something greater than Jonah here. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will arise with this generation and condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here. Jesus is speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. He's trying to get them to see that there's a bigger picture than what they're operating in. They're resisting God. This is not the Messiah. We don't picture the Messiah coming this way. It can't be. We know who he is. We know who his family is. He can't be the Messiah. In every way, they're trying to reject Jesus. We have all kinds of ways today of rejecting. But they certainly did then. And Father Simon has some interesting things to say that I wanted to share with you before we go on to today's readings. Despite the severity of Jesus' words to the Pharisees when he called them brood of vipers, the scribes and the Pharisees come back to Jesus like bees to honey. If they were genuinely convinced that Jesus was a fraud and a blasphemer, surely they would leave him alone rather than address him respectfully as teacher. Their contradictory actions, though not their self-assured words, show that the duplicity and ambiguity they have accused him of reside rather in themselves. Demanding a sign may be presumption and itself a manifestation of gross spiritual pride, gross spiritual materialism. And yet the apparent belief of these religious leaders that Jesus can produce incontrovertible proof that God is acting through him reveals something deeper than doubt or disdain in their relationship to him. By the time we arrive at this passage, the one I just read to you, concerning the sign of Jonah, a powerful rhetorical momentum has been gained by the narrative. In various ways, by his words and his deeds, Jesus has been established as being greater than the temple, greater than the Sabbath, greater than Moses and Abraham. And this is now extended to Jonah and Solomon. The formula, a greater than such and such is here, aligns alongside the other formula, such and such was said to your fathers. You hear Jesus often saying that, such and such is here, or such and such was said to your fathers. But I say to you, both these formulas reveal subtly and steadily through a wealth of particular instances the absolute uniqueness of Jesus of Nazareth. By transcending the significance of all these instances, Jesus demonstrates how all of them converge on him and are fulfilled in him. Do not look for illumination and guidance any longer in your books, Jesus seems to be saying, or in your traditions, or in your past history. But look into the eyes of me, who am standing before you as one like yourselves. All the means used by God in the past to communicate with you point to me, who am here present. One is here who is greater than everything you have until now considered great. And they refused to hear him. How often do we refuse to hear him? How often are we guilty of ignoring what he says to us and what he promises to us? Let's take a look now at the readings for today. The first is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 15. Brothers and sisters, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We're earthen vessels. We need to know that. Get rid of the pride of the Pharisees that caused them to be blinded and deafened to the presence of their Messiah. Paul is telling us we hold this treasure, our treasure of faith, in earthen vessels. And we do that so that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Brothers and sisters, pay attention to the Gospels. Pay attention to the prophets. Pay most attention to Jesus. Pay attention. Apply the words to your life. Paul goes on to say, so death is at work in us, but life in you. Since then we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believed, therefore I spoke. We too believe, and therefore we speak. Can you say that? I believe, and therefore I speak. Knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. God wants to give you a place in his kingdom, the eternal kingdom of justice and peace and joy. A kingdom where all mourning and all weeping, all sorrow has gone. A kingdom where evil is destroyed. Don't you want that kingdom? It's not Pollyanna, brothers and sisters. It's the words of God the Son to us. It's what he promises us. How deep is your faith? How strong is your faith? Ask God to increase it. Ask him every day. Because Psalm 126 tells us that those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Those who sow in tears, in the sorrow, in the difficulties, in the challenges, in the pain that we suffer. Don't give up. Don't give up. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. We put our tears and our pain, our suffering, our anguish. We weep before the Lord. And Scripture tells us not one tear is lost. Not one tear is lost. We don't want to suffer. Not one of us wants to suffer. But if we take the suffering that comes upon us and unite it with him, not only will we be saved, but those we love will be drawn closer to him. Gospel of Matthew for today, chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she answered him, command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. She's looking for earthly power and authority, and she's begging for her sons, God help them, that they would let her. But they did. They wanted to see what Jesus would say. And Jesus said, you do not know what you are asking. Because to sit at his right and left means you're willing to go through sorrow and suffering. You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink? And they said to him, that's the sons, they're listening. Oh, we can. And he replied, my chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. So brothers and sisters, we want to draw very close to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Draw very close. When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. I wonder why they became indignant. Oh, that was a terrible thing. You should never have asked that. Or were they thinking, gee, they got in there ahead of me. They had their mother speak on their behalf. God, I want to be the first one. You know the human condition, don't we? We know what it's like. We're always looking to get ahead, to push our way through, to be the first in line. It's our pride. When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers, but Jesus summoned them and said, so Jesus gets them all together. He knows. He knows exactly what they're thinking. He knows what they're dealing with. Jesus summoned them and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt, but it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's not according to our nature. It's not according to our nature to step back and let somebody get ahead of us. Even if it's secretly in our own heart, we're always wishing that we could be the first, the best, the one most noticed, the one most lauded, the one most applauded. That's our pride, and it's in all of us. But what Jesus is telling us is that we need to take the position of a servant. Serve God. Serve the people around us. Help to bring them closer to him. And as we do that, we are more conformed to his image and likeness. We walk more in the light when we're willing to take the position of humility. That is second place. That is sometimes unnoticed. If you're noticed, then be gracious and thank them for the compliments, whatever they give you. But to wish to be unnoticed, to wish to be hidden, so that all the honor and the glory goes to God, that you're not trying to steal what belongs to God. Because God created you. God gave you the grace. He's given it to everybody, and you accepted that grace. So follow him. Let him bless as he chooses to bless. Let him honor as he chooses to honor. Let him put first who he chooses to put first. You just keep following him, and the light in your life will shine in the darkness. May God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.